That was awful.
Yeah, I'm good, Blake, whenever you're good.
I'm good. I'm in. That's not a good headspace to go into this, but let's do it.
What up, world?
Oh god, I wish we were on YouTube for this.
So good.
Yeah. So awesome.
Alright, let's try this again. Hello, world. Welcome to the 38th episode of the Ameripodcast.
Ka-caw.
Oh yeah.
And yes, for those of you who are wondering, I am wearing sunglasses.
Inside at night.
He wears his sunglasses at night.
Today is Thursday, November 16th. We're recording this episode at 6:08 p.m. 2017. I, Blake Mannion, am in Evergreen this evening. And on the pod tonight, we got the full crew. With Tyler Mayo in Berkeley, woo-hoo! California.
Hey, everybody. Hello.
And at the penthouse Denver pad, Mr. John Anderson and Mr. John Kelly.
Hey, everybody.
Howdy, listeners.
Those are some nice dance moves you got there, Kelly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And our lovely host is Blake Mannion. He's in Evergreen, Colorado.
As always.
He got it. He was there.
I mean, listeners, he is right. He is wearing some dope-ass sunglasses.
John Lennon sunglasses. He surprised us before the podcast, and it kind of set us on interesting tracks. We'll see how this goes.
Rockstar.
It threw everybody off. I really wish we had video for that.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty funny. But moving on. Today, it's the episode that you've all been waiting for.
Trump was impeached?
Oh, wait, no, not that one, John. today, as foreshadowed on the last podcast, we're going to talk about the top moments of Trump's first year in office.
First year since the election.
Well, yes. First year since the election, correct. We're not quite at the year in office yet. So we
What's the quantifier for these? Top three we're most pissed about? Or?
I think top three most memorable moments, so it can be just very subjective.
Okay.
Yeah, I have, and we're going to go in rotation here for those of you that are listening, but I have like one positive, one hysterical, and one insane, which to be honest, the insane one was really hard to pick. Because I feel like most of them were insane moments.
Is hysterical like light your hair on fire or like really funny?
Funny. Actually, okay. It's kind of both.
Okay.
But you can pass for both.
But
first, we should talk about the Franken thing because that we should address that. Right?
Yeah. You want to start with that?
Yeah. So Al Franken today... very sadly, at least for me, was accused of sexual harassment, assault. He took pictures of his hand. Well, I guess his brother took pictures of his hands on a woman's breast while she was asleep. And he kissed her, according to her. His initial statement was pretty vapid. And then he... later on had a better statement agreeing that there would be an ethics investigation. What he described doing or what he did was not dissimilar from what Donald Trump described in the Access Hollywood tape. And I don't think that sexual assault is not a partisan issue. Even though, like, I grew up on the Franken books and thought he was a dark horse candidate for senator for president in 2020, I think he should resign. This is not a partisan issue. We have to be consistent about this, and we have to be this is not a electoral decision. This is a moral decision, and he should resign if he feels that it is not just that he should lose his senatorship. He should run for re-election and let the people of Minnesota decide how they feel about this, but I think that he needs to resign.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. And it's ridiculous that we have to highlight it as, like, this isn't a partisan issue, but, of course, that's what happens, because it's like, oh, shit, we're going to lose a seat, and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter, though. This sexual assault is incredibly serious, and anybody who's guilty of sexual assault needs to be held accountable.
Right.
Yep, agreed. And agreed. When you look at Al Franken, I totally agree. He should resign. And I hadn't even thought about that, John, about the rerun. But that's absolutely true. Because if you step back from it, real issues should change voters' minds. Mm-hmm. And this is a big thing that has been sweeping across our country, I think, in a very good way. And I wish we saw more support of it on the Republican side. And we don't want to make it into a partisan issue, but you see the Republicans, and they're not as willing to call for people to resign.
I agree. I think this is if I was Franken's chief of staff, I would say the only way you get out of this is if you resign, and if you run for re-election, you should say, I completely messed up. I want to make it up to the people of Minnesota. And I think that is the only – I think that there is a way where he actually shows leadership on this issue, and that is the only, like, effective play in this beyond the morality of it. And then another thing, I think, being, like, a Machiavellian Democrat – this is going to sweep Congress. This is not the first one that's going to come out. It's going to be an issue for a long time. And this Democrats have to get this one right if we're willing to go up against more, if we're willing to go up against people in entertainment and media like Weinstein, and if we're willing to go up against the president, who should also resign because he also is a sexual assaulter.
Yeah, and again, to make it not partisan, Bill Clinton should have also resigned.
I agree with that, too. Yeah. Bill Clinton should have also resigned. Listeners, Matthew Iglesias had a really good Vox article recently outlining that discussion. I would point you to it highly, even though that's not a correct sentence.
I pointed to you, Mike.
Yeah, that's not how English works. But I think you get the meaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, speaking of sexual assaulters, Donald Trump has been president for a year.
Yeah.
Since his election. Yeah.
His election.
hold on. Before we just jump ahead with that, because Roy Moore.
Fucking Roy Moore.
Yeah. So I just want to. How do you guys feel? Because didn't we say like last time he should withdraw his nomination?
Candidacy?
But
definitely.
At the same time, though, how can we justify saying that Al Franken should rerun after he resigns? You see what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah. No. That is a very good point.
So like, shouldn't we? Is it kind of harsh to tell him to resign, or like, or do we have like a double standard here? You know
so,
what I'm saying?
It is the pattern with these types of things is that there's a story, and then there's subsequent other stories, right? As we've seen with Roy Moore. And this is something that makes the sexual assault conversation so hard. Is I do see a distinction between. If this is the only thing that Al Franken ever did, I do think that there is a matter of degrees here. I don't know if that justifies our stance that you have correctly pointed out, I think, to be inconsistent. But I think that we can have a discussion there.
Right. And I mean, at the same time, too, I don't think Roy Moore is going to pull his nomination. So it's up to the people to decide, right?
And I also think there's some amount of like contriteness involved in this discussion as well, or in this decision as well. Like if Al Franken says what I did was completely wrong and I want to prove that people can change, and I want to spend the next however many years, I think his seat is up in 2020, so I want to spend the next 4 years working on this issue, proving myself, and then run. Roy Moore has said, fuck off everybody, this is fine, I asked their mother, leave me the fuck alone. And that, I think, requires a stronger reaction. Like, you want people to reform, right? You don't want to just punish. So if we see reformation, then I think we can be more lenient, whereas if we don't, the punishment needs to come in more.
Sure.
Yeah. There is, I mean, obviously a matter of degrees. There's a difference between rape and you know, sexual assault of other kinds, things like that. And, you know, people can do whatever they want. My personal, in terms of running for office or whatever, my personal line is that I wouldn't vote for Al Franken. I wouldn't do it. Mm. If you're guilty of sexual assault, I'm just not that, I don't give a fuck about you.
Right. I wouldn't vote for him in the future either. Yeah. And I think you rightly pointed it out, Blake, that there is this distinction, and that's why there's so much anger from people on the left with the Roy Moore discussion, and then anger for people on the right where they see something come out like this against Al Franken. I'd like to touch something on what John said too in this whole issue, which I haven't seen a lot of kind of discussion about, but rehabilitation of people. Because I think it's on both sides, obviously, rehabilitation of the people who are sexually assaulting people and of the victims. Because obviously the victims have a very hard path to trod just to be themselves again in a lot of cases. And on the other hand, sexual assault is so prevalent today that we have to come up as a society as a way to rehabilitate some of these people, because you can't just completely take so many people out of, say, our economy, of social circles, out of our culture. It's something we have to deal with. And that's a much harder conversation to have, I think.
Yeah, I agree, Kelly. I mean, there's it's so prevalent, and I mean, it just goes back to the patriarchal culture in general. Like, men and boys are taught to, you know, see women's bodies as objects, to think that they have rights to them. I mean, this is part of our culture. It's prevalent everywhere. I mean, you know, there's been these experiences, but men, I forget exactly, but there are rooms full of men and none of them can define what rape is, you know, generally. And that just shows that, yeah, I mean, how prevalent this is. And it's also a lack of education. Like, men don't know what consent is. Like, they can't define it. They can't define rape. So it's a larger problem. And I agree. I'm just saying, when you provide, I think that take, for me personally, if you've ever, if you've ever been engaged in or been proven to sexually assaulted someone, then you should not be in office. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I agree.
Totally.
Like Trump. Don't think he should fucking be in office.
Yeah, that's the most disturbing part about all this for me, I think.
Yeah, I think that it shows that... Oh, sorry, Blake. Go.
No. I mean, that's good. Just that somebody can make it that far with that kind of personality and background, you know, and attitude. That's all.
Yeah, I think that one of the other big things, I think one of the solutions that we need to have is that this is about sex, but it's also a lot about power. And the solution is that we have more women in power. And I think the greatest example of the power differential that we're still fighting in this country is the president. And so that is, we have to stay on this subject and continue to harp on it because it really, really matters. And we have seen that we still have a long way to go because this president's still in office.
Totally. Well, shall I move on to Trump's glorious first year? I think so.
We could do a whole podcast on this subject, but this is not.
Yeah, we already did that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and this won't be the last one. We might have to do it again.
Yeah, well, this won't be the last time we talk about this.
I will say, I mean, it's obviously important enough to where we've had to talk about it just about every episode since that episode. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy.
And one other thing I think, it's one last point.
Sad.
It's really important that we as Democrats respond to this aggressively, even though it is another Democrat, because we have to encourage women to continue to come forward. And if we signal that there will be negative consequences for that, they won't. And we need to continue this the momentum of this wave. So,
yeah, and well, and that's how you lead, too, is by example. So yep. If we want the Republicans and the Republican voters to respond a specific way, we have to do it ourselves as well.
Yep.
Even though, you know, I'm a registered independent, but still, nonetheless, it applies for everybody.
Yeah.
I say we, you know what I mean? But, like, Democrats.
We adjacent.
Yeah. Democratic leaning independents.
There we go. Are any of us registered as Democrats, actually? I don't know. I don't think I am. No. Are you?
I am, yeah.
I which can't is funny remember.
Because I didn't think I was, and so I didn't vote in the primaries in Colorado.
Yeah.
Well, that's a new thing now in Denver County that independents can vote
in
the caucuses. Yeah.
All right, so top three things.
Because Denver, Colorado is cool.
Come to Colorado. Like, actually, don't come to Colorado.
Nobody come. It sucks.
There's nothing for you.
This is not the state you're looking for.
And yes, all the listeners, I did the Jedi hand maneuver. All right, who wants to start?
I will. Okay, so my honorable mention... There was not a specific event for this. I tried to narrow it down, but there wasn't one. The general stupidity and corruption of this administration, I would like to just point out.
You took all of mine, John.
I was going to say general stupidity and corruption.
Yeah, hey, no blanket statements here.
Yeah. So,
I'm just kidding. I'm just again.
The big thing for me, the example I want to point out of this is the TPP. It was just announced that the TPP is going forward without the United States. So we have literally hurt ourselves for no other reason than Donald Trump's political promises and his ego. Another good example of this is pulling out of the Paris. I almost said Paris Peace Accords. Climate Accords.
Yeah.
Those were two of mine. You've already taken two of mine off the table.
No, really?
I gotta think on the spot now.
So that is just, it's a general pattern of a solution in search of a problem that actually ends up hurting America, not helping America, all in the guise of America first. And that to me is both stupid and corrupt. And I just want to like lay that out there before we go into the top three.
Yeah. So,
like,
I mean,
events.
I agree. And since I was going to talk about
both
of those, I'll just put in my two cents quick. I wouldn't necessarily go forward enough to say that withdrawing for them were corrupt in general. They were certainly stupid. With the TPP, he ruined a perfect opportunity to check China's power in the Pacific Rim.
Yes.
In terms of growing trade with people that we want to trade with that help our economy. And then in terms of the Paris Climate Agreement, it's completely ridiculous. The guys that I can get us a better deal on it when it's a voluntary deal in the first place. I don't know if anybody else saw that this week, but Syria has actually signed it now.
Yeah. And
making us the only country.
The only country.
Yeah.
So
Syria has their shit together better than us. That's how stupid pulling out of Paris.
At least a promise to say we might start thinking about doing something.
Right, that's the other thing. It's voluntary. You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Right. There's like no army that's going to come in. Like, what's the UN going to go in with their army to stop us? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Turns out that's the United States military. We would be invading ourselves, which wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. That's true. But you know what? At this point, it's like one of his very few things that he's actually been able to do.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, and obviously he did it just for the political reasons of isolationism, basically. It's just like... Yeah.
Well, and there's no, like, mechanism that prevents him from doing it either, because he has proven himself to not only be stupid and corrupt, but also feckless.
Yeah.
And so he hasn't been able to do anything other than sign pieces of paper. And though the Paris and...
TPP,
he could just sign paper and do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Can we go to mine? Because I feel like we could talk about each of these for an entire podcast again. Because we have talked about them for an entire podcast. Okay. So first and foremost, I'm going in chronological order. Is the Muslim ban. The subsequent striking down by the courts. Specifically, I'm thinking about the first time around, but also it's happened now numerous times. Three times, right? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they keep making changes. It first started with all Muslim majority countries either stopping all seizing immigration. Then the response, of course, around the country was, like, really strong. The protests were really intense. So it was, like, both this moment of, like, Trump trying to do something strong-handed, because it happened, like, very soon, right? First couple of weeks after his inauguration.
It was the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, and then just, like, the show up and just, like, getting shut down, first by so many people showing up in protest, and then by also the courts. It also showed the incompetence, because, like, the rules that when they made the executive order, it made zero sense, and, like, all security borders were doing different things, and, like, yeah.
Yeah, and that's Sally Yates refused to implement it, and then she got fired, and... Yeah, that was a big moment.
It was the beginning of really, like, no bullshit Trumpism, right?
Yeah.
Around his cabinet and around people in the Capitol near him. Do what I say, toe the presidential line, not even the Republican Party line, but toe my line.
Yeah, the Trump line. And then the whole country was like, no.
How about no?
No.
Blake, what's yours?
Yeah, Blake.
All right, so I'm trying to decide which one to start with. I think I'll do my... I kind of have like a blanket moment, but I'm going to wait till the end to do that one. It's his positive. And it's not even like... It's like a moment that was positive for Trump, but also like very sad for all of us. That's my foreshadowing. So I'll move on with a different one.
Nice.
So let's start with my hysterical moment, as in funny and insane at the same time, but was hiring the White House communications director, Anthony Scaramucci.
Dude, I almost had that as my honorable mention.
The move!
I was like, you know what? This should just, like, I be part of the podcast, because it was such a fucking crazy thing to happen. I'm so glad you have that in there. My favorite statistic from that, people were like, he lasted 8 days. His official start date was like a month later, and he served officially like negative days, which is
amazing.
It's one of my favorite things about the Trump administration.
And he lost a bunch of money taking that job and getting fired from it.
Good.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. That was amazing.
Yeah. Did anybody really think they would live to see the day that they saw a White House communications director openly question another member of a cabinet or a policy advisor that he sucked his own dick? I mean, it's totally ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous.
If that happened in any other administration, it would have been a months-long story, and that was literally like 2 days.
Yeah.
It was like, I didn't even remember, Kelly, what you were talking about. for a minute. And then I was like, oh, yeah, you told me I'm trying to suck his own dick. Oh, my God. What is going on? We live in the wrong timeline, guys.
So I would like to point out, too, like, if you guys just Wikipedia search White House communications director, they've got a list. And within Obama's presidency, which lasted 2 terms.
8 years.
8 years. He had 5, okay? 5. The shortest one being 91 days. It was Ellen Moran.
Interesting. When was that?
January 20th, 2009.
Yeah.
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 So that's the first one. Realized it wasn't going to work out. Anita Dunn took over April 21st. So, you know, you got pretty much 223 days. Anita, 3 years after that by Dan. 2 years, Jennifer. 2 years, pretty much, by Jen Psaki. So, here we go on Donald Trump's thing here. And he's got 5 already. He hasn't even been president for a year. And what's more interesting, too, is Sean Spicer served first.
Oh, my God, Sean Spicer.
For 45 days.
It was only 45. Wow. Oh, no, but he was there longer.
Mike Dupke for 88 days, it says here. Right? Which doesn't really make sense. Followed by Sean Spicer, another 49 days.
Yeah.
And then, wait, so who was Mike Dupke?
I don't know. This is the perfect example of why you can't just put a businessman in government and expect it to work. Because he's not a good manager.
Yeah.
Anyways. this actually doesn't make a whole lot of sense because, it does actually. I guess this is right. I didn't realize Hope had already been in for 90 days, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we need to adjudicate this.
No, it's just funny. I just wanted to paint a little picture for all of you listeners out there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I guess I'll jump in now and talk about my first.
Yeah, yeah. The ones that I didn't steal.
I'm going to go on the fly. I like Tyler's chronological idea, so I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning and briefly mention the absurdity of his inauguration.
Nice.
Both in terms of the speech he made in the America First speech, which is really a very, very troubling speech. If you go
American Carnage.
Yeah, American Carnage. Just the total destruction of people in this country. That's how he sees certain communities. And then, of course, the resulting media brouhaha about the size of his participation on the lawn and how much bigger it was than Obama's and all that stuff, which is just distracting people from what was actually important about the speech, which was very scary language.
So one of my three was specifically the juxtaposition of the inauguration and the Women's March the next day. The Women's March was the next day.
Yeah.
And how that set the tone. I was actually going to end on this, but it set the tone for the whole administration. It was, we're going to go out. This is not even Republican. It's not conservative. It's Trumpism. The idea that America is in complete crisis, that our society is basically on fire, and we have to act to stop, to like maintain our Judeo-Christian values and white values, basically. And then the next day, America being like, no. Yeah. America coming out and just being like, to me, that was like the quiet majority speaking. I don't think that we have a silent majority in this country. I think it's more vocal than that. But we really, with our feet, announced that there's going to be a significant resistance to this presidency, and there has continued to be so, to the point where they have been able to do nothing of impact other than sign pieces of paper, which we should all be proud of, but we have a lot more to go.
Yes, definitely.
Agreed, John. And it's something to hang our hat on for people who are trying to be middle or left leaning, sane American citizens. That it is his base is really a small group of people, and while the Republicans haven't started to abandon him in numbers, his really hardcore base is actually quite small. I mean, speaking of other marches, don't forget there was that on the same day a pro-Trump rally and a Juggalo march on Washington. The Juggalos outnumbered the pro-Trump.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So
they're, you know, 40% of 40% of the country, basically.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're pretty small. I think actually the numbers in the Women's March versus the numbers in the inauguration speak well to the breakdown in this country, whereas there is a significantly higher percentage of Americans who believe in American values, who believe in equality, believe in justice, believe in tolerance, believe in diversity, and want to succeed altogether. And then you have a small minority that says, we're a white Judeo-Christian country. And the rest of the country goes, well, you obviously don't know your history and you don't see the demographics coming our way. And let's all make sure that we stay in this together.
Yeah.
And so I think... yeah, I think that's really symbolic of where we are right now as a country.
Which leads to my next one. Charlottesville.
Oh, you stole mine.
Yeah, I mean, it's very
It should be on the list.
And
I wouldn't be so excited about yelling, oh, you stole mine.
This is, you know, Trump is president, so.
It's all relative now. So, yeah, you know, huge gathering of white supremacists and neo-Nazis. Trump didn't respond for a couple days, then said there were fine people on either side, and then had changes, but then went back and said it again. And it was just one of
those... And he read it was like a hostage statement. His, like, well, we don't like Nazis. Like, it was one of his, obviously, like, John Kelly, if he was chief of staff at that point, beat him with a shovel and was like, you have to say this right now.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it just really cemented, like, you know, all the racist rhetoric, both in his campaign and up in the office up until that point, and the policies also that his administration had been pushing. And it just really, like, really cemented, like, who Trump is as a person and where his loyalties lie and what his ideologies are. You know, also on the other side, the huge, you know, the counter protests that day. And also, especially the coming out again, in Boston, like the next weekend.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. That
turns out Nazis in America and the president is supportive of them. But most of the country is still not, so we should keep it that way. Down with Nazis. Fuck Nazis.
Yeah. Boo Nazis.
Boo Nazis. Follow us on Twitter.
Yep.
Blake, do you want to do yours next? Since Tyler stole mine. Beef.
Yeah. Although I'm considering changing my number two.
Fuck it, go.
You can't change it. It's too late. We're locked in. Go with your first answer. Go with your gut. It's a multiple choice question.
Well, yeah. This when after the chemical weapons attack in Iran.
Yep.
And then we decided to fire 59-pound cruise missiles. Syria and Syria. Overnight in response. That's my number two for insane.
I thought about putting that on the list. I thought really hard about putting that on my list. I think that's an underrated moment. That was foreign policy by... basically, that was foreign policy by soundbite. It wasn't soundbite. It was meant to be, like, visual. But it was. It had no clear strategic value other than, like, winning the news cycle. And that,
which it did. If you look at the approval ratings, they actually spiked up two or three points after that.
I mean, I didn't disagree with it. You know, like I think the only time on the podcast we talked about being like, well, that was probably like the right thing to do, other than the fact that it is disconnected from any kind of clear, coherent strategy. And so, I think that's a great one to point out, Blake. Like that has continued to be Donald Trump's MO, which is diplomacy by media coverage.
Force. Oh, media coverage, sure, yeah.
Twitch force. Oh, yeah, media coverage, right.
Yeah. And actually, that's a really good one. That was one that I was going to mention.
Oh man! So you've had like six now.
I'll just shoot another one. It's okay. There's so much to talk about, guys. It's okay.
Do you want to do the next one? Because you'll probably steal mine.
But see, I knew I should have switched it.
No, that was a good one.
And this is one that goes back to the campaign too, but just the questioning of news media as legitimate sources of information spreading.
Yeah.
And the ill effects it has on our democracy and our society in general is worth noting. And it's fault on both sides, but it has been magnified 100 times with him in office.
I'm so glad I actually like forgot to put that on my list because it was on there and then I forgot in my mental list. The post-fact world is horrifying to me. You don't have democracy and you don't have science, which means you don't have like modern society without the ability to discern the truth, without the ability to be like 2 + 2 = 4. And we can all agree on that.
Sure.
And so if we can't, like, math is easier to prove, but if we can't all say, okay, well, the Republican tax plan is going to raise taxes on the middle class because, like, math, and they're like, no, it's not. And you're like, yes, it is.
It's fake news by CNN.
Exactly. And so, like, there's a reason why the media is referred to as the fourth branch of government. We can all quibble with that, but they serve an extremely important purpose, which is disseminating information between the government and the people that they govern, back and forth. And so we can't function as a clear, coherent society without that. On top of that, like, I like my iPhone and I like science and I want us to continue to improve in those matters. And if we don't have the ability to tell what the truth is, we're going to stagnate as a society, not be able to solve much bigger problems, frankly, than the Trump administration, like climate change.
Sure. And I'll throw out that I'm not willing to accept just yet that we're totally post-truth, that we're totally past the point of being post-truth. I think that, in a way, we're moving that way. But I will say that it's just so troubling to know that partisanship has now shifted to media in a way that, and maybe this was just a natural outcome of the internet in general, that information is so easily to get at hand. But the fact that people don't even cross the aisle to read opinion pieces on the other side and immediately just mark them fake news is not true. There is a difference between opinions that have come out of facts and completely fake news stories. And people make them the same thing.
Yep. Yeah. And
it's not the same.
And attacks on the truth, attacks on like objective journalism is play number one for any autocratic regime.
Absolutely.
And
democracy relies on free media.
100%. And we have to defend that with all of our like civic strength. There's a reason why the freedom of the press is in the fucking First Amendment. It's first for a fucking reason.
Numero uno. Can I move us along? I'm just time watching here.
Yeah. I'm sure we're like at a lot right now.
Yeah, we are. Let's breeze through.
We're about 39 minutes, 40.
Oh, that's not as bad as I thought it was
going to
be.
Okay, my last one is, well, the specific moment is the indictment of Paul Manafort. And the larger thing here is just the ties between the Trump administration and Russia and Trump's
Which continue to grow.
I think that this, it is fucking incredible to me that it is continuing to, like, not get that much attention. I mean, it did for a while and it keeps resurging, but the fact that, like, so many people don't really seem to care. But I think that in the future, this will be, like, a huge... Paul Manafort indicted in this situation. So... indicted about something that actually was not directly tied to this, but we know that it's part of Robert Mueller's investigation, and that he's probably trying to get higher people, so he's probably trying to take a plea deal. Point being, I think in retrospect, this is going to be like a huge, huge piece of history. This is like the evidence, very clear evidence, that United States is not on top of the political global powers anymore. We're not on top anymore. It's very, very clear. It's extreme. It's also going into a whole new level of cyber warfare that we've been doing to other people, and other people have been doing to other countries. But it's worked on us. It is, like, prevalent. Obviously, they came out today. Some of the ads that Russia bought were released today, and it's fucking crazy. I mean, shit on all sides. Most of them were right-leaning, but there were also a lot of other ones. So it's like they're basically just trying to what's the word I'm looking for?
Mass hysteria.
No, they're trying to just more risk.
Division.
Like, division. Thanks, John. It's a very simple fucking word. They're trying to
say. It took me that long to figure it out.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that this is going to be, like, in retrospect, a huge.
Well, and they take advantage of this post-fact world, right? And
exactly.
They have been trying to influence our elections, but they didn't have a willing agent up until Trump, yeah, who literally said, "Hey, Russia, if you have the emails, let us know," on national television,
yeah,
which is still amazing. We're living in a Bond movie, and it's so slow motion and it's so detail oriented that most people have a difficult time keeping track of it. And I think that that's why people don't seem to care that much. Also, it's like, how does this actually affect my life? And you're like, because, like, the most Bond villainy of Bond villains made you vote for the wrong person. Like, doesn't that... And also, you're the party of the evil empire and Reagan is, like, murdering all of you as a ghost right now. Mm-hmm. Like, are you kidding me with this? Yeah. But, yeah, I think, Tyler, and this kind of segues into mine... I think that the Manafort indictments not having anything to directly do with Russia is really interesting. My last one is James Comey, the firing of James Comey.
Yeah.
And I think, as we've made the point on this podcast before, all of the Russia thing could be bullshit, which it's not, obviously, at this point. You have to assume insane things at this point to assume that there was no collusion between the Trump campaign, at least. But if all of this is bullshit, he probably still obstructed justice, which is still impeachable. And so it goes to the absolute autocracy, autocratic impulse of this president and the people around him, and the fact that that is fucking un-American, and we need to get it the hell out of our country.
Yep. Blake, what's your last one?
So my last one is...
Been really building up to this.
I know. So my number three, and technically I went in, like, a reverse chronological order as well.
Okay.
I didn't even realize it, but... my number three is Trump being nominated Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
Was that
2016.
Fake?
No, I'm reading the article right now. I read it earlier. I think the article probably went out December of 2016.
Wow.
And the reason why it's my number three moment for the Trump campaign is because, man, if you guys read this article, or maybe if you have before, it is it's pretty much like this. It foreshadows everything that's played out in the last year, you know. And I'll just read this one quote here by them. This is the presidency as improv, as performance art, with good guys, bad guys, and suspense. It's a new thing for the United States of America. The reporters in the room, the voters who will read this article, the nation, the world, we are the audience. And I just felt like it reminded this article. I glanced through it back when it came out, and when we decided to do these top three moments, I don't know, it just like came across my radar again. It's scary. It's if you read through it, it's kind of it's alarming.
Well, and that's what we were talking about with his response to Syria, right? That was all performance art. Using Tomahawk cruise missiles, but yeah, there was no clear. I keep using this phrase, but there was no clear, coherent strategy. It was just a one-off event tied to the news cycle, which is not a good way to govern the most powerful military in the history of humanity compared to all the rest of humanity combined.
So that was my number three.
Nice, good
you guys.
One.
Trump is president. I still have to remind myself of that.
I know.
Hopefully not for much longer, but who knows?
You know, one thing, I want to have a second honorable mention. One thing that frustrates me about the world, we're trying to do time, is that someone asked me the other day, did we know all of this during the campaign? Yes, we did. If you didn't, you're dumb or you weren't paying attention.
Right. Read this Time article.
We knew it during the campaign, and we all need to make a lot better political choices. Looking at you, Bernie bros. Like, this is – we have to be better as a country.
Or all the anarchists that didn't vote.
Exactly.
And I'm not picking on anarchists here, but all the people.
Let's pick on anarchists.
I'll pick on the Green Party. I'm an environmentalist. What you get, all you Jill Stein.
Trust me,
I like Jill Stein, and I like a lot of her proposals, but come on.
We did this already. She's it was also Florida never, in 2000.
She's also never held a public office higher than city council.
Also true.
So, I know that you want ideal outcomes, American people, that doesn't happen. It will never happen. Politics has not changed since the Greeks, and we just need to get over that and make smarter choices.
Oh, it's so interesting that you say this, because the entire Trump presidency is an ideal laced presidency.
But that proves the rule, right? That like you cannot be effective in politics unless you operate in the real world and not the idealistic world, right? Because he has literally accomplished 0% of his – well, not 0%, but he has passed no major legislation. Nothing of consequence has happened because he's not an effective politician.
Can we get a percentage on that?
A percentage of his agenda?
Efficiency?
It depends on how you measure it. If you include like being a racist asshole, he's above 20%. But that's performance art. It's not actual like, you know, consequences, although that kind of thing can have consequences.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's say 20%. Yeah.
Sorry, Kelly. Just as, like, some what were you saying?
Fucking random number.
What were you saying, Kelly?
I was just gonna say maybe in some other pod we can jump into the historical presidential antecedents in terms of idealism during campaigns and what has actually happened. Because you'll probably find a very similar success rate over a first year of a president's term. It doesn't happen very often where there's a lot of extreme success in terms of what a president actually proposes and what happens.
And we underestimate Obama's impact in his first 2 years. Probably the most analogous prior to that was 64 with Lyndon Baines Johnson. There we go.
But that's for another pod. We're over time.
Yeah, we're over time. Tyler's giving us the wrap up.
And I hope this invigorates dear listeners. Anyone who maybe was like, I'm mad at doing things, and then like everything got normalized, and it's all so much. Maybe hope this list of shit this lift of piles of shit will reinvigorate you to
remember when action. We were occupied for like 3 years with whether Obama was born in Kenya or not. Yeah. That's like one day in the Trump news cycle.
Yeah. And get creative with your ways back. Cards Against Humanity, the company, just
bought
land that's where the border wall is going to be and is just going to hire, and has hired a legal team to just fight the Trump administration and the as hard as they can.
And if you give them $15 or whatever, if you buy the pack, I'm assuming, they give you a slice of that land. That's brilliant. That's actually a great example of what makes America amazing, is that we're kind of like a balloon. If you squeeze us in one part, we pop out in another part. And Cards Against Humanity, you're doing your part, and you're doing your part at proving that capitalism works at the same time, which is fucking awesome. Keep it up.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Cool.
Godspeed, everybody. I can't believe Trump is president. And we'll be okay.
And God bless America.
There is no God.
Yes!
I feel like I haven't brought my atheism nearly enough into this podcast yet.
Should we do a religious pod? We could do that.